Hi, this is Deb Perlman of the Smitten Kitchen, and you're listening to Food Fridays on the Leonard Lopate Show on WNYC 93.9 FM, AM 820, and WNYC.org.
Doug Rao, the former president of Trader Joe's, plans to open a store called The Daily Table, which will sell inexpensive but healthy meals prepared with foods that are still good and safe to eat, although they've passed their sell-by dates. Mr. Rao joins us now to discuss the problems of food insecurity and food waste in this country and tell us about his plans to open The Daily Table in the Dorchester neighborhood of Boston. Welcome to our show.
Great to be here.
Now, this is going to be in Boston, but I'm talking to you in Baton Rouge. Isn't there food insecurity down in Louisiana?
It's extensive down here, and it's part of why I'm here working with a group that's doing some very innovative things to tackle it down here also.
But the irony here is that we have both food waste and food insecurity in this country at the same time.
Yes, and by the way, I want to give you all kinds of props for the introduction you gave, because you didn't say expired food, which is one of the real confusions in America, that they think that sell-by dates and best-by dates are food safety dates, and they're not. They're really for the retailer. And so what we end up with is a lot of food that's being disposed that's healthy and wholesome and shouldn't be. And at the same time, we end up with a challenge of affordable nutrition, which is the real heart of what's driving a lot of the issues around food insecurity.
Is this something you noticed when you were president of Trader Joe's? Were you throwing away a lot of stuff? I think they call it shrinkage in the business, don't they?
Yeah, sometimes called shrinkage or spoils. And, Trader Joe's, like all of the grocers, struggled to have the food recovered. They do, and the grocery industry, instead of being bad guys here, are really heroes in what they've done to bring the entire food business. The fact that we, as a people, enjoy more abundant food at lower costs than anyone in the history of the world is real kudos to our food industry. The downside of that is that because it's so cheap, we end up spoiling basically 40% of what we grow. 40% of what we grow in America is never consumed.
At the same time, in 2011, at least 15% of American households experienced food insecurity. So we're not getting that food that to the people who might use it or might need it?
Yeah, exactly. And so what we end up with is we end up with cheap calories and expensive nutrients. It's the way the system is basically designed.
What kinds of foods are discarded every day?
Well, I mean, there's extensive amounts of fruits and vegetables and dairy, things that are perishables, mostly, that have, a sell-by or a best-by date. There's also extensive amount of product that is cosmetically blemished. You know, it's got an apple with a little mark on it or a zucchini with a nick that, perfect's the enemy of the good in this case, that I, like most people, when we go shopping, you don't want to get a beautiful apple. You don't want the one that's got, a mark on it or something. So that's product that's often disposed of, and not just at grocers, but also out in the field. An extensive amount. There's a report just out last week that in England, 40% of fruits and vegetables are wasted because they're, quote, ugly.
And I'm assuming that's a major expense for people all along the food chain.
Well, sure it is. I mean, if you can imagine, if 40% of anything was wasted, it adds to the cost. Food, because it's so inexpensive, this is built right into the system. We all pay for it. But, the real challenge for that group that is struggling, that is food insecure, is how do we get affordable nutrition and not just empty calories, because hunger in America isn't about a shortage of calories anymore. It's about a shortage of nutrients.
What accounts for the high food insecurity in this country? Why are so many families struggling to feed themselves? Don't we have a social safety net?
Well, there's a wonderful documentary, by the way, I'd recommend anyone to watch, called A Place at the Table. And it kind of highlights the status of hunger in America today.
We spoke to Tom Colicchio about that when the film was released.
Yeah. Well, and so what it really does, it highlights that on one hand, we're the richest nation in the history of the world regarding food and food production and all that. And on the other hand, here we've got 50 million Americans approximately that are food insecure. It really is, shows that an imbalance in the system, and one that primarily is designed around the fact that many, many years ago, starting the Depression, we started subsidizing farmers to grow things, and we've now continued on with that with corn and soy and wheat in the Farm Bill. And what you end up with is, you know, high fructose corn syrup being so cheap, and, you know, nutrients, you know, fruits and vegetables and protein and dairy being expensive.
But we haven't.
And as a result, yeah, and as real, you just end up with people eating the wrong foods.
But we haven't had a new farm bill in this country for a couple of years, and one of the holdups is the debate over food stamps.
Yep.
What's your take on that?
Well, my take on it is that, my take on it is that SNAP is, which is, you know, food stamp program. SNAP is very necessary and needed by a number of families in America. The challenge with SNAP is that it is a program that designed out of the 60s that really hasn't been updated. And I'll say that quite honestly, with SNAP, you can buy Pepsi, you can buy Coke, you can buy, you know, chips and snacks, and you can't buy, in many instances, hotter prepared meals or foods, because when the program was put into place back in the 60s, people had time. And, you know, the idea was, well, we'll let you buy the raw ingredients, but, you know, we're not going to pay for your labor. You know, for our labor to cook, you can go home and cook it yourself. Well, today nobody has the time. And as a result, the economically struggling or the food insecure, oftentimes single head of household, you know, they get off working one or two jobs and it's 6 o'clock at night. They don't have time or the energy to go home and cook from scratch a meal for, you know, an hour and a half or so. So they often go out and get snacks or chips. And these are cheap. You can get 3,700 calories of junk food, so to say, for $3. Or you can get 300 calories of fruits and vegetables. Well, it doesn't take too long to figure out what you're going to do. So I think that, you know, part of the SNAP program, which is a wonderful program and I think needed in America, is also to be updated so that we end up basically encouraging people to have the right behaviors, which is to eat the things they should be eating, fruits and vegetables, whole grains, plants, less junk. To me, it's just crazy, quite honestly, just personally, that you can buy soda with SNAP.
My guest is Doug Rao, the former president of Trader Joe's, who plans to open a store called The Daily Table. We'll get into that in just a moment. But let's clear up the whole business about sell-by-date labels. Who decides what the date on a product should be? Is it the FDA?
No. The sell-by dates are not mandated by federal law. And that's one of the first things that most people don't understand. And there's a whole bevy of state laws that differ, but basically don't deal with the fact that sell-by or best-by dates have anything to do with food safety. And Harvard Food and Law Clinic and the National Resource Defense Council, I think about 3 weeks ago, came out with a long report that was wonderful, deep, rich report I recommend anyone to read, called The Dating Game. And what it deals with is that sell-by and best-by are really dates put on by manufacturers or retailers to either have peak flavor, peak, you know, quality, or just rotate product, just to give you a chance to make sure you got something so you can turn the stock on your shelf.
Is it illegal to...
It's relatively new, by the way, meaning several decades, relatively new in the food industry.
Is it illegal to sell food that's past its sell-by or best-by date?
Not at all. And the reason it's not is because it's not bad. It's perfectly good food. In most instances, you or I would be happy to eat the food that, I mean, if you're a grocer and you've got a product that says, you know, it should be, you know, a sell-by date of today, that means they're going to sell it to you today. They don't expect you to go home and eat it tonight and throw it out tomorrow. You know, if you have a gallon of milk, they don't expect you to go home and drink a gallon of milk. So these dates are really designed around, one, food rotation, and then two, is designed around, you know, peak flavor or peak experience. And it gives a customer a very generous period of time to use this up.
So
that's really key. Most people don't understand that.
How do we know when food is no longer safe to eat? In the case of milk, when we can smell that it's gone bad, when there's mold on the cheese, when meat has started to turn green?
Yeah, or bread gets moldy. Right. And you hit, you know, you hit right to the heart of it, which is the sell-by, best-by date does nothing to tell you that. It really doesn't. And the reality is that there are no dates currently that will tell you that. And so you're often left then with the fact that you've got to use your five senses. It turns out our five senses are very good. They're honed from, you know, hundreds of thousands of years of evolution of protecting us from food that spoils. Now, almost all of the real foodborne risks that have caused any harm in the last, you know, several decades, E. coli, salmonella, these are not related to code dates. These are related to food safety handling. And so, you know, there was an article that NPR did last year on called Why Expired Foods Are Safe. Well, don't fear expired foods. And what it was about was that when a product had a sell-by date, past that date, your senses are really good at telling, like with milk, well, it smells bad or it doesn't taste quite right. But the reality is if you take a product that is a sell-by or best-by date, you've got a window of several days past that in which you can use it comfortably.
So tell us about your plans for the Daily Table. This is going to be both a restaurant and a grocery store?
Well, it's not really technically a restaurant. You won't have sit-down, you know, it won't be service restaurant. What it really is, it came out of the idea of what if we go around and we collect this food that's wholesome and healthy, that's about to be disposed, and you take one problem, which is this massive environmental issue we're facing, and use it to solve another problem, which is the challenge of affordable nutrition. So the idea had started there, and then it slowly worked into, at first it was going to be food, just have, you know, fruits and vegetables and milk and bread and, you know, groceries. And then, of course, going down to the community, talking and having community meetings, you start to realize this is a community that, just like everybody else, is really short on time. And what they really want are healthy grab-and-go meals, something that's lower in fat and sodium and made with, you know, fruits and vegetables that's a Minestrone soup or a stir-fry or, you know, a chicken that is not deep-fried that they can grab, they can take home, they can eat, that's inexpensive, that's tasty and convenient. So the idea with Daily Table is we go around and collect this food, we cook it up fresh in the back where we have a kitchen commissary, and then we offer it at the same price as junk food so that you no longer have to make an economic penalty for eating well. So it becomes economically agnostic. And you also have then fruits and vegetables, just, you know, and bread and milk and things that you can buy at prices that will be incredible. That'd be very affordable. You know, milk will be competitive with, you know, 2-liter bottles of, you know, Coke.
Now, a listener wonders why we use the term food insecure rather than hungry. Is there a difference?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. And the USDA came up with the term food insecure. And there's ways you can look. There's the food insecure. There's the very insecure. There's like extreme. There's different levels of it, and they have to do with the degree to which you struggle, quite frankly. And it really highlights the difference in what's happened to hunger in America in the last 30 years. 30 years ago, hunger in America pretty much was a shortage of calories. Today, you know, if you are hungry, the vast majority of food insecure are people that already have full stomachs but need a healthy meal, that they are eating empty calories, they're eating too many of them, and hence, for the first time in the history of the world, we have obesity and, quote, hunger coexisting in the same communities in the same person.
Now
when you realize that, you have to realize, obviously, hunger is not what you thought it was if an obese person can be hungry.
You were a fellow at Harvard's Advanced Leadership Initiative from 2010 to 2012, and I'm assuming this was a major topic of discussion there. Is that why you've decided to open your first Daily Table in the Dorchester area?
Well, first of all, this fellowship I did at Harvard really gave me tremendous opportunity to really study this and do background. It was a wonderful program. The reason that we're starting there is I live in Boston, and it's good to, when you're doing a pilot or a proof of concept, to do it somewhere where you can really watch it, observe it, and tweak it, make sure that you got it right before you then, you know, look at expanding this out and bringing it to other neighborhoods and communities and other cities.
And that's something that I'm sure you're thinking about.
Absolutely. I mean, if this if I'm right, if it turns out that, you know, one, we have 40% of all the grow is not consumed, that it's healthy, wholesome, and it's just, you know, ludicrous to have us go to the landfills, that then that can be used to tackle affordable nutrition. That's something that I think that needs to be brought to every community in America.
Is part of your mission in doing this to change how food is labeled and how much food is thrown away?
Well, I absolutely support that. And I worked with Harvard Food and Law Clinic and the National Resource Defense Council in this report they put out on Dating Game, because I do believe there's a lot of confusion and we are needlessly throwing out at home, by the way, most food, quote, disposal in America occurs in the house. It's not the grocers. It's not the manufacturers. You could take all the food that grocers, manufacturers, food service, hospitals, and hotels use that they throw out, and it wouldn't amount to what we toss at home. So the first thing we can do is start to educate ourselves so that we don't needlessly toss things. And then second is to get clearer laws and better use. And then, of course, to end up starting to reduce the amount of food that actually goes to landfills.
Another listener wonders whether Trader Joe's had any policy along these lines when you were the president.
Well, Trader Joe's had a tremendous amount of effort done to try to get his food recovered. And it turns out that, you know, certainly going back, you know, 15, 20 years ago, it was very difficult. There weren't as many groups and agencies are done. Case in point, just a few years ago, David Fuller, who was the manager of the Brookline store in Boston, set a goal and was able to achieve 100% of everything in that store was recovered, that nothing that was wholesome or healthy or shouldn't have been was tossed. And so I think that, I mean, it was really through tremendous effort. And Trader Joe's has made a real effort to try to get as much food recovered as anyone. And I'm sure that's true of other grocers. I mean, no one likes to see good food get thrown out. If you're a grocer, no one feels good about that. If you're a manufacturer, if you're a farmer, you don't like to plow your product under because much of it was, you know, the wrong size or marred by a hailstorm or whatever, because it's perfectly sound and nutritious.
We mentioned a report by the Harvard Food Law and Policy Clinic and the Natural Resources Defense Council that cited misinterpretation of sell-by dates as a leading cause of food waste, and we have a link to that on our website at WNYC.org. My great thanks to Doug Rao, former president of Trader Joe's, who plans to open a store called The Daily Table. Thank you for being on our show.
Well, it's wonderful, and thanks for the opportunity to talk about this. Thanks.